is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 416, the first stanza. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, as so my soul doth pant for thee and what follows. Psalter 416, the first stanza. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Exodus 16, beginning with verse 32 through the seventh verse of chapter 17. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, and nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, and nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 16, beginning with verse 32, and the first 7 verses of chapter 17. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this, that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children, and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Miranda Vandenberg, who received surgery in this past week and may return home again in the day of yesterday. Mr. and Mrs. Peter Hengstemangel and Mr. and Mrs. Tim Vandenberg were both blessed with the birth of baby boys. The baby of Mr. and Mrs. Tim Vandenberg is in ICU for observation. And Mr. and Mrs. Herman Lusink, who hope to remember their 56th wedding anniversary later this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Most holy, most majestic, but also faithful and ever good doing God. Then on the morning hour of another Lord's Day, then we have many reasons to say it. Were in the past week, wherever we were called to be, then thou was graciously watched over each and every one of us. Thou was cared, thou hast provided, thou hast protected, and thou was spared. For a people, from the youngest to the oldest, that are all lying under the sentence of death, because thou wast said to our first parents, that they that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And we have taken of that forbidden fruit. The consequences thereof they are great, and they continue. But for such a people, then we may still be in the precious day of grace. Then thou wast given that the sun may arise in this morning. Oh, then we also do well on such a day to acknowledge thee for the precious gift of the Sabbath day, that in thy wisdom and in thy goodness, that thou wast set one day apart, one in seven, that we may rest from our labors, and tend in a special way to the needs of our never-dying soul, and in so far that it is possible, that we may come up to thy courts and place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. Ah, Lord, may it please thee in this hour that we may receive a soft heart, a humble heart, a broken heart, a bewandering heart, that thou art so good in this dark and evil time for a sinful people. Then we also have to add for such an unthankful people that we take so much for granted, and where thou makest such a great difference with most of the people upon the earth. We commend unto thee that people in the country which thou was shaken by a powerful earthquake, where there are so many mourning, so many have been ushered into that never-ending eternity, and where for many family circles that their hopes concerning those that are missing, that they have ebbed away. Do uphold that people, and Lord, use it for the coming of thy kingdom. Remember the country at war. So many upon the world that have not the opportunity to come up to thy house. And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee in this morning hour. Thou hast promised that it shall not be in vain. And it is declared in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching that sinners shall be saved. How wilt thou then do it in this hour? By the loving and by the powerful work of thy Holy Spirit. And now on this Lord's Day, where our fathers have thought it fit and profitable for the church to set some weeks aside to, in a special way, to be given to be meditate upon the suffering of thy dear Son, Lord, then we humbly ask thee, where that need has never been experienced, where the bitterness, the exceeding sinfulness of sin has not been felt, because when that is not felt, then there is no room for the suffering Son of God. But may it please thee in this hour, to shoot arrows of love and of conviction into the hearts of sinners, that they may become great sinners, sinners that learn. May there be such amongst us that have learned it in beginning, and that have tried so hard to please thee, to bring about a satisfaction, but that are given to learn and to realize that they are a sinner still. May there be souls that are experienced that it seems that with all their efforts that they are only becoming a greater sinner. May it please thee then to reveal unto them that precious Lamb of God, who has suffered, who has died, who has shed his precious blood, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Lord, wilt thou remember thy children? May it be a special season, that they may be given to meditate, that they may be given to follow thy dear Son, and that they may be given to see matters which they have never seen before, that they may be given to see their riches and the all-sufficiency of the sacrifice of thy dear Son. To that end, wilt thou grant the revelation and the application by the work of thy Spirit, in the exercising of that true saving faith, Lord. So we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. May many be gathered within the fold In this dark and solemn time, may the kingdom of Satan, may it be greatly disturbed, may it be diminished in this day, and the glorious kingdom of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, may it be expanded and may it be strengthened. Oh, for thee there is nothing too wonderful. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Lord, then we commend unto thee two family circles, fathers and mothers, whom thou wast blessed with a little son, the one family by renewal and the other family by renewal. Ah, do grant unto them a broken and a humble heart where thou wast spared life, where thou wast given life. And for the one little child there are concerns, they for observation. Wilt thou soon grant that those young parents, that they may be privileged to take their little precious gift to their home. And Lord, above all, may they be little ones for thee. May they be little children of many prayers. May they be for thy glory and for thy honor. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents. Wilt thou also grant them a humble heart with an increased blessing, but also an increased responsibility. Do remember the barren ones amongst us. Do uphold them. Grant them a place at thy footstool as a Hannah of old. Remember the mothers with the unborn. Lord, we may acknowledge thee for a daughter where she has underwent surgery, and where thou wast given such wonderful and remarkable improvement, and that in the day of yesterday she was privileged to return home. Ah, wilt thou grant unto her, together with the family circle, a broken and a humble heart, oh, not only to confess it with our lips, but to feel it with our hearts, that thou wast being a wonder-doing God, and that this solemn calling, that it may be used, that it may be sanctified for the saving of the soul. So we commend father and mother unto thee, the family circle, father still undergoing treatments. Thou wast upheld them hitherto, and may it please thee that thou may continue to remember him, to uphold him, and to sanctify the callings. Lord, wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, with the many different circumstances, do uphold them. Remember all the mourning ones, remember the elderly ones, remember the crosses, remember the burdens. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may grant thy gracious help in this hour. Ah, we are so dependent upon thee. Oh, may there be many thirsty ones in a spiritual way. We have heard out of thy word that the children of Israel, that they have thirsted after water. But, ah, Lord, it is the work of thy Spirit to work that spiritual thirst. Ah, word is missing, because by nature then we are so busy thirsting after the things of the world. Ah, may thou keep us from the many sinful temptations. Ah, thou knowest what liveth in all of our hearts. But even so busy thirsting after the lawful things, that we forget our never-dying soul. But, ah, Lord, where that thirst is still missed, wilt thou work it in this hour. And, ah, where that thirst is present, may such thirsty souls, the solemnest of old has declared, O Lord, O God, thou art my God, Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Ah, wilt thou grant by that true saving faith to be given to thirst of those everlasting waters. Oh, that fountain which has been declared, which has flowed, which is still flowing amongst us and our children, wilt thou so graciously grant thy spirit in speaking and in listening, those that are lawfully hindered grant a blessing in their dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 164, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee, my spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. And what follows, Psalter 164, the first three stanzas and the extra collection today is for the Bethesda Debt Reduction. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Exodus 17, the verses 5, 6, and 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee, there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Our text words speak of water out of the rock at Rephidim, with four thoughts. In the first place, the need for the rock. Secondly, the smiting of the rock. Thirdly, the blessing from the rock. And fourthly, the question concerning the rock. Water out of the rock at Rephidim. The need, the smiting, the blessing, and the question. Thus first, the need for the rock. Beloved congregation, our fathers in a former age have thought it good and profitable to set a certain number of weeks. They are called the Passion Weeks. And children, you know how many weeks that is. That is 7 weeks that the church may be given to consider, to meditate upon the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby a way may be made that the Father's justice is satisfied and that the church is saved. And then it is necessary that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that need is wrought in our heart, that we experience a spiritual thirst. But for the true work of the Lord, then that spiritual thirst that needs satisfaction, and the Lord grants unto his people many a tokens of his favor, but it is the work of the Spirit to show that justice needs to be satisfied and to bring to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God for the pardoning of their sins, and that they may receive a right to eternal life. And now in the Old Testament, then it all points forward to the New Testament, to him who would come in the fullness of time, but not only concerning his coming, but also concerning his work and his suffering. And so we have in this chapter in Exodus 17, oh, it is true, much instruction concerning the providence of God, when the Lord grants it, then in this evening hour, we hope to hear more thereof. But it is very clear, it is proven in the scriptures, that this portion of scripture, the first verses of Exodus 17, that they do not only speak of the providence of God, but also of the grace of God. Because Paul has written to the Corinthians concerning the children of Israel, that they should not be ignorant. They all went through the sea. And then in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, and that all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Thus then it is clearly proven out of the scriptures that in our text words that it all points to richer things. And now the children of Israel have learned that they were painfully slow learners. They have experienced so much, maybe a soul in this morning, when they think of the children of Israel, that they become so jealous. They have been led out with a high hand after the Passover lamb has been slain. Oh, they have experienced impossibilities, the Red Sea, but a way was made. And then after passing through the Red Sea, there have been trials and troubles, but the Lord has delivered them each time by renewal, because in this chapter, then we read that word end. Thus, connection with the former chapters in Exodus 15, then they have come to water, it was bitter, but it was made sweet. And in the former chapter, then they have hungered, but then the Lord has sent quails, and then the Lord has sent manna, that faithful covenant-keeping Jehovah that is not forsaken and not forgotten his people. And in Numbers 33, after they have been at Elim, oh, that is such a pleasant place for the child of God, those 12 water wells and fountains and those 70 palm trees where they may receive a little rest. But the child of God learns that the true rest is not found here below, that is reserved for heaven. But now in Numbers 33, the verses 13 and 14, we read of two encampments between Elim and Rephidim, and they are called Dophka and Alush. But of those places, we find nothing recorded. And so it can be in the life of a child of God. Oh, the Lord upholds them that they cannot deny, but no special trials, no special blessings. Of course, when they may have an eye for it, then even the smallest is a blessing, but that nothing remarkable, no further leading, to say it simply, we would say for the children of Israel at those two encampments, that they have written nothing in their diary. And nevertheless, even at those encampments, the Lord has upheld them, and the Lord has led them by the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. But now they have come to Rephidim, and there, and they have not went to that place on their own. They have followed the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Still a privilege and a blessing. when we come in great trials, that in an outward way, we are still walking according to that word, no, perfectly. Because when we go astray, when we transgress, then it must not be so surprising when we come in great straits and great trials. Many examples, when we think of the children of Israel, when the kingdom was established, thus in our chapter, the children of Israel, they have followed the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and they have come to Rephidim. Oh, the children of Israel could say, was Psalm 142 verse 3, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. But now the children of Israel, they have come in a great need because they ran out of water. And we read in the census at the beginning of the book of Numbers, approximately 600,000 males above 20 years, thus the general thought is, about 2 million people in that encampment, then our boys and girls can even understand what a water was required, and not only for the people, for the cattle. It is specifically mentioned in this chapter, us and our children. Oh, think of mothers with children on their breast. What a concern that soon those little infants would fade away. And then it is also mentioned cattle. Thus the need was great. They had no water. But do you know what else they did not have? And that was even more solemn. And it is not easy. We cannot imagine to be in a desert, the burning sun, a warm wind, no water, throats beginning to become parched. What a burden, what a trial that was. But that people did not only have no water, but they also had no faith and no trust. Are there souls that understand it? And they had such blessings. They have experienced such wonderful things. With the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire above them, leading them. Man is 6 days a week. What evidences that they had of the loving kindness and care of Jehovah. And yet no water, no faith, and no trust. And then concerning that water, surely the sky declared, it is not with me. Undoubtedly no clouds. When they looked at the dry riverbeds, because there were those wadis, we would say little valleys, when a rain shower did come, they would run, but they were dry. Thus evidences where water has been. We think of paradise. When they looked at the flinty rocks, said, it is not with me. When they looked at the sand, it all preached to them, it is not with me. Thus with such evidences of the Lord's care and faithfulness, and then they begin to chide. And the Lord has a people upon the earth. It is not written in God's word to follow. Oh, how ashamed many times they must be. But nevertheless, with all the evidences, then they have went to Moses. And we would think that they said to Moses, Moses, our prayers are so poor, and they are so feeble. Thou art our leader. Wilt thou now cry mightily unto the Lord because he is able? He has delivered us so many times, but Moses, we have so little patience, and when it takes so long, then it starts boiling up in our heart as Moses. Art thou now willing for a people as we are to once more humbly ask the Lord that he may do wonders, because with the Lord nothing is impossible. We have experienced it. But that we do not read. They did not ask Moses to pray, but they have commanded. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this, that thou wast brought us out of the land of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Thus a great need among the children of Israel. Thirst. That is a terrible thing. They tell us that it is much more terrible than hunger. But now it is necessary that by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we are given to experience a spiritual thirst. You know what that is, congregation? That is a thirst. In a dry and thirsty land, as we read in Psalm 63, and the Lord has a people upon the earth, which know what that is. O God, thou art my God. My soul thirsteth for thee. And then the psalmist is given to speak of a thirst in a dry land where there is no water. That is a thirst for the Lord, for his communion, and for his righteousness. And that is necessary for us and our children to experience. Because when we are not thirsty, then we do not need water. And now the children of Israel, oh, it all points to the grace of God, that those waters that would come, that they are not for a good people that have done it so well and that have kept the law perfectly, but that is for sinners, sinners who ruin it each time by renewal with all what they have received. Oh, that great sin of unbelief, how ashamed that people becomes. It is a blessing when they may become ashamed, because they can even justify themselves. It's all implied in our text words. Our second thought, the smiting of the rock, and that was for a people that have chided with Moses. And what a chiding and quarreling there can be amongst us and our children concerning what is written in God's word. We could speak of a sovereignty, of election, the imputation of Adam's sin. Or do you never have those questions or troubles, congregation? You say, is it no fair of the Lord? Then we do the same as the children of Israel. What must we do? Ask the Lord for a way to be saved. It is declared in God's precious word. And then Moses, then we read in this chapter, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? not such a strange question also for office bearers. Lord, what shall I do unto a people that refuses to hearken to thy word? For a people that refuses to turn from their sinful ways, a people that refuse to repent, a people that refuse to bow under the authority of thy word, a people that refuse to beg, because Moses said that people is nearly ready to stone me. Oh, also a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ has said to the Jewish people in John 10, verse 32, many good works have I shown you from my Father, for which of these do ye stone me? And then the mercies of the Lord. For a murmuring and for a chiding people, then the Lord has given a remedy, and it is clear, congregation, it was not because they have deserved it, because after so many blessings that people have ruined everything in the way of unbelief, not believing the Lord, that manna was the evidence of maybe already so soon, that pillar and that manna maybe the first, second day. The families have spoken much about it. Was a wonder, the faithfulness of the Lord. But that it soon became common. Do you have that trouble, people? Are there those times that you still receive a soft heart, but it is so short? The wonder goes out of it. And that we can continue so soon. But now the mercies of the Lord. Then the Lord has not destroyed that people, but he has given an answer to the crying of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel. Then we already have many similarities with the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his suffering, concerning when he was judged. Then he was led, as it were, from one courtroom to another. Then the people have witnessed him going through the street. But concerning that judgment, then at times, especially before the elders, think of the hall of Caiaphas, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was judged. And then further, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. That was the rod of justice. Moses has stretched that rod over the river Nile, and it has become blood. With that rod, other plagues have come upon the land of Egypt. With that rod of judgment and justice, he has stretched that rod over the Red Sea, and boys and girls, what has happened? Then the waters have divided for the children of Israel to go through. But when they were all passed through, then he has stretched that rod over the Red Sea again, and then the waters have flowed together. And then Pharaoh and his host with all the chariots, they were drowned, they were destroyed. And now the Lord said unto Moses to specifically take thy rod and to go to a rock in Horeb. That word Horeb many times used interchangeably with the word Sinai. At times it seems to refer to the whole mountain range, and other times to the mount from whence the Lord has given his holy law. And now the Lord has pointed Moses to a specific rock, and that he must take his rod. And we first read, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." Thus, when Moses would smite that rock, it was in the presence of the Lord. And so it was also with the dear Son of God, that he has been smitten in the presence of his Holy Father because of the sins of his people imputed unto him, that his Father has dealt judicially with him. And when we read that the rock was smitten, and when we read the scriptures, then it is so clear, because we read in Isaiah 53 verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted." And in verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Do we not read in the prophet Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." Thus then the smiting of the rock, that is an emblem, that is a type. Oh, it is clear, as we have read out of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, that it is an emblem of the smiting of the dear Son of God. Oh, the wonderful grace of God for a sinful and for a murmuring people. It would have been just if the Lord in his justice, with the holy rod of his anger, that he would smitten of that murmuring people from the youngest to the oldest with their cattle, that they would have been destroyed. It would have been righteous if the Lord had sent fire from heaven to destroy that people. But now in his great mercy, then he has given commandment to Moses that the rock must be smitten. Oh, congregation, there is declared the mercy of the Lord, that there is a way for the chiefest of sinners to be saved. He has become the substitute for his church. Our third thought, the blessing from the rock. Let us first sing Psalter 289. The stanzas 15, 16, and 17. "He led them forth in health and strength, none weak in all their hand. And Egypt, filled with fear, rejoiced to see them leave the land." And what follows? Psalter 289, the stanzas 15, 16, and 17. the water out of the rock at Rephidim. The need, the smiting, and now thirdly, the blessing from the rock. And then we read, and there shall come water out of it. That was a great wonder. It was a very hard rock. We read in Deuteronomy 8 verse 15, water out of the rock of flint. And in the song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32 verse 15, to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. And then we have read out of 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, and that all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Thus, congregation, what a wonder it is, and has that ever become a wonder unto us? Where we read in verse 6 that the people may drink. For that thirsty people, for a people that have sinned everything away. Oh, the Lord has a people that know about that spiritual thirst. Oh, they thirst for his communion. They thirst for tokens of his favor. They thirst for his righteousness, for his holiness, because they learn that they have none of themselves. And then when it is written that they may drink, that there is a possibility, because the Lord has a people that learn that if that thirst is not satisfied, then they must perish. But now in our text words, what a rich gospel. Oh, the rock was smitten, was needful. Until that rock was smitten, the waters have now not flowed. And so it was needful that the rock, Jesus Christ, that he would be smitten. Oh, he was smitten. The rock was smitten by Moses, a representative of the law. And now waters have flowed. And then we read that the rock has followed them. What are we now to understand by that expression? That the rock that was smitten, that has followed the children of Israel through the wilderness journey. There are Jewish rabbis that have tried to declare that that literal rock has followed them, but we must understand it not the rock, but the abundant water out of that rock that was such an abundance that has filled many valleys, and that has become evident through their wilderness journey, that they may drink out of that water that continued to gush forth out of that rock, because we can understand what an abundance of water was needed, that all that people, all the cattle, that their thirst may be quenched, and that continually thus those waters out of that flinty rock that has flowed through the desert, as it were, that has followed the children of Israel, that they may nearly drink for 40 years from that abundance. And there are proofs when we think of the golden calf at Mount Sinai. Then we also read that that calf was grinded to powder, and that Moses has put it into a brook. That was that water that has flowed out of that rock, and they were satisfied. Oh, then I hear the psalmist declare, In Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We read concerning that rock in Psalm 78, verse 20, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out. And in Psalm 105, verse 41, the flint into a fountain of water. Oh, when we read that word fountain, do we not read in Zechariah 13, verse 1, of that fountain for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness? And what are we now to understand by the waters that have gushed out of that rock? Then also included in those waters that are the blessings under the external administration of the covenant of grace, because those waters, they have followed all the children of Israel. But in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5, it is clearly declared that with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Nevertheless, the blessings of the external administration of the covenant of grace were the waters of free and sovereign grace, where they may be declared for the chiefest of sinners, oh, to be under the prayers of the church. But when we consider scripture, then those waters, they especially refer to the wonderful works of a triune God, the works of the Father, the works of the Son. We read John 4 and John 7. There we read of the waters merited by Christ, but also the work of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 44 verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. Thus the works of a triune God, the waters of salvation for his chosen church. But those waters, they also refer to the means of grace, because the Lord has appointed those means that his church may be saved. Think of Psalm 46 verse 4, the rivers of God that may glad the city of God. Thus they are the channels, the means of grace, which the Lord grants for the saving of his people. And now we read in our text words, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. What that must have been for that thirsty multitude when they saw that river of water coming towards them, and that they may all drink was sufficient, more than they needed. And how much did they have to pay, boys and girls? Isaiah 55 verse 1, without money and without price. What a wonder that must have been for that thirsty people. Are there thirsty souls in my midst? A thirsty people with guilt and with a debt which they cannot pay. O Christ, different places in the scripture, he is called a rock. Not time to explain all the similarities, but in our text words, the smitten rock, the smitten Savior. He was holy, no original, no actual sins. But because of the sins of his people, he was smitten by his Father. He was crucified. He has died. And from the cross, there may flow forth that river of water that is able to cleanse sinners from all their sins. And now concerning that river, then it is evident it has followed them for nearly 40 years until they have come close to the land of Canaan in Kadesh. We read there of in Numbers 20. And then the Lord by renewal has given commandment to Moses to go to a rock, but this time to speak to it. But in his anger, he has smitten it. Of course, disobedience. But when we read it closely, then there is more implied in Numbers 20 than we just read. In our text words, then it is clearly written, Moses, thy rod. But in Numbers 20, does not say thy rod, but it says the rod. In the second place in our chapter, we read of Moses as a representative of the law, that the rock was smitten. But in Numbers 20, then we read of Moses, the prophet, but also Aaron, the high priest. But then we read something more, that in Numbers 20, that Moses has taken the rod from before the Lord. Thus it seems to be implied that it was an other rod. We read that expression, the rod before the Lord, two times in Numbers 17. And there we read, after the rebellion of different ones in the camp of Israel, that the Lord has commanded Aaron 12 rods, one from each tribe, to lay it before the Lord. And that the rod of Aaron has budded. And that is a type of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus it seems to be implied that in Numbers 20, that it was the rod laid before the Lord that was that budded rod of Aaron. And with that rod, Moses has smitten the rock. Also in our text words and in Numbers 20, the word that is used for rock, two different words, it is not perfectly clear, but the word rock used in number 20, then it seems to come from a root meaning to be elevated. Thus in Numbers 20, we have the exalted Christ. And the exalted Christ, he may never be smitten because he has done a perfect work. But that exalted Christ, he must only be spoken to. He must be adored and he must be worshipped. And to that end, the great sin of Moses, the blessings out of the rock. Our last question, the question concerning the rock. Then they called the name of the place, Massa, means temptation, Meribah, chiding or strife. concerning tempting the Lord, and the children of Israel have tempted the Lord concerning his love, his power, and his faithfulness. They have forgotten the past. They did not believe, but they want to see with their eyes, ah, the Lord has a people that cannot come up above the children of Israel. Oh, they cannot deny what the Lord has done. Such wonderful works. But people that can go so upside down and so attacked, that they need another evidence. They like to see. What a lesson for the church to learn to live by faith and not by sight. But now there was a question, and it is true in the context, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? But is that not a fitting question for us and our children? Is the Lord among us or not? Is that our concern? And that he remains amongst us. Is the Lord among us or not? When the Lord richly dwells amongst the people, what takes place in congregation? Then there is repentance, a forsaking of sin. Then there is that thirsting. Then there is that deeper uncovering. Because then the Spirit, because we can understand it, our boys and girls can understand it, that a person cannot stay alive with thirst. And it is true, that spiritual thirsting, that is such a blessing. Many times the child needs to ask for more and more lively thirst for the things of the Lord. But people, we must learn that off of our experience and our thirst, we cannot remain alive. We need to be slain by the law. We need to learn that justice needs to be satisfied. Is the Lord among us or not? Oh, that is a special evidence. When that thirst is lively, each time by renewal, a crying unto the Lord, and that thirst is not satisfied until a revelation of that smitten rock. Because it is implied in our text words that that rock was smitten before the elders. And then the river has flowed to the camp. But then for the comfort, when that people have walked through the desert and they have drank of that water, then for their comfort it was necessary and profitable that they would know where the water has come from that smitten rock that was smitten by Moses upon the promise of the Lord that the waters would flow forth and that they may all drink thereof. Is the Lord among us or not? All those waters of the means of grace, they follow us, congregation. Sabbath after Sabbath day, by the preaching of God's word, by his mercies and goodness, by his trials, by his speaking conscience, then the Lord is following us. He invites, he exhorts, he commands us to turn unto him. Then he still proffers peace and pardon. Is the Lord among us or not? Ah, for the children of Israel, they have received a special token for a murmuring, a chiding people. The Lord dealt not according to their sins, but that he was very merciful. And yet, with that people, under the blessings of the external administration of the covenant of grace, with many of them, the Lord was not well pleased. Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord with you, congregation? Is the Lord with you? Has the Lord now begun that good work with his providence, with his goodness? Then he is present day after day. But has the Lord now begun that good work? All we have heard, a precious gospel, the smitten rock, the waters have flowed so abundantly that there was no lack. This congregation, if you go lost, then it is all your own fault. Because what precious invitations do we not read concerning that water in John 7 verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come and drink. Are the thirsty ones amongst us? Oh, when there is none, ask the Lord that he may work that thirst by his Spirit. And in Revelations 22 verse 17, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of wonderful things, a faint type of thy dear Son, whom thou wast smitten, that there may be a people that may drink, that may live, and that may go free. Wilt thou be the after preacher? May each and every one take the question home, whether the Lord is with us, and more personally, whether the Lord lives and dwells by his Spirit in my heart, to be given to thirst for thee and thy righteousness. Ah, thou wast promised, blessed are they that thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Wonder-doing God, manifest thy wonderful works, not only in the way of providence, but above all, in the way of grace, for the salvation for us and our children. Because it is written in thy word, those that have heard and known the way, and not walked therein, that they shall be beaten with many stripes. Lord, watch over us in this day. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers and the children? Grant traveling mercies. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 307, the stanzas 1 and 4. When Israel out of Egypt went, from people of a speech unknown, the Lord among his people dwelt, and there he set his royal throne. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The Canadian Lord's Day Association hopes to have their annual meeting on Tuesday, February 21, beginning at 7:30 p.m. at Calvin Christian School. Reverend Adams hopes to present a topic, and all are welcome to attend. And there will be a midweek service on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m., and the Paul magazine is at the exit. Psalter 307, the stanzas 1 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.